Right, welcome everybody to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We are covering Married at First Sight UK, Season 8, Episode 17 through to 20. Now, Chris, what a dinner party, but where would you like to start today?
Well, I'm ready for that day, but no, let's start with the new couples then, shall we? So we start off the first couple of episodes. We had Matt and Adrian. Matt's the diver, window cleaner. He's a big lad. He looks like a rugby player, doesn't he? And he's got this whole backstory about his poor dad who ended up in a wheelchair, because of an accident. We meet the girl he's going to marry, Adrian. She's lost 8 stone. Very relatable story, Dave. If anyone's got body issues, you know, I completely understand it. And for me, I was in on these two. I was thinking, this is going to be good. These actually look, I said to Sam, what's it like when they went through the whole journey of the marriage? I went, these are two people who actually look like they like each other and they're not there for any shit. Now, there was a couple of little flashpoints, but I was out of everyone. I think, yeah, actually, I could get on board with these two, actually just being a normal couple who want to find love. Yeah. I can't say anything about the other couple, Dave, but let's talk about them first, Matt and Adrian. So go on, what did you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're the closest to what, you know, the sacrificial normal couple that they select, you know, and actually have some kind of chance, I guess. But, you know, I don't know, Chris. I mean, straight away, you know, I'm sick of this fucking story about, you know, oh, you know, I just haven't managed to find the right person. And I can't remember what Adrian was saying now, but, you know, people have been cheating on me and whatever. All right. And you give all these fucking things, these negative traits, you know, and then so it's about, oh, I suppose my ideal person, yeah, they'd be tall. Yeah, they'd be fucking tall. That of all the traits, you know, you've been cheated on and shit on. But that is literally the first fucking thing you say. You know, the criteria is they're tall, not, you know, it doesn't have to be a cheating bastard. You know, how about that? How about, you know, he's not like fucking Brad. He's not a complete dick / cult leader. No, he's got to be tall. That's the main fucking thing. I'm like, oh, you can just fuck off. hit a bit of a nerve there, Chris. But you know, it's all looking like it's going pretty well, but all fucking Matt there, I just think he's not great with his words. So that one of the flashpoints you mentioned about, you know, it's all going super great, you can see there's a lot of chemistry there, but he gets almost stuck in a loop, you know, where he just keeps saying the wrong thing. And I think what he was actually trying to say is, you know, she's very outgoing and, you know, quite extroverted and, you know, he's not personally used to that. No, he just says, yeah, you know, a bit of a show-off really, aren't you? And yeah, I'm not used to people being a show-off. And he just kept fucking going on about how she was this massive show-off. And kept using the same term, and like, obviously, it's going to piss off most people, I think, because it's like, oh, what, you know, what is it? And I've seen a few comments to say, you know, a before and after pictures, she still looks stunning, you know, when she had the additional weight. But clearly, from her perspective, she's got a hang-up about it. So, you know, I think she's kind of like, probably a little bit fragile, you know, in terms of like any negative criticism. You know, someone goes through that kind of transformation, you know, good on them, but it's probably born out of, you know, that kind of self-image rather than what anyone else thinks. And so I just think she probably is a little bit sensitive about, you know, things which aren't directly criticism, but kind of smell like it, you know. So, yeah, I'm intrigued where these two go. I think these kind of miscommunications, I guess they can happen in any relationship early on, can't they? When you don't quite know the other person. But yeah, I've gone on for a bit there, Chris. Any other thoughts?
No, but I do think that Adrian's always going to be in the back four. I think you're completely right. Because of what's happened to her, because she showed pictures of her. What a transformation, Dave. You know, like you can see what she's like, a completely different person. And good on her as well. You know, and she talks about like how she ended up being like the third wheel. She's like the fun friend. People, you know, the guys, she'd get with guys, but they didn't want it broadcasting because of her, you know, because of the way she looked at the time. And it was all like cloak and dagger. She wanted someone to just basically hold her hand and be proud to have her, you know, as their partner, girlfriend, whatever. And at a sad, really sad day. So I think that's what Matt has got to do. I think it's a bad choice of words. Like you say, yeah, well, you're a show off and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, mate. And she's trying to say, this is all how I am. I have to be like extrovert because it's a defense mechanism. So like, you're right. They will learn that. Matt will hopefully learn that and not do it again. But I think they are showing a lot more promise, Dave, than the second couple of this week, David. Now, we had Sean and Mark, both at Geordies. Sean is 31, Mark is 26 stroke 36 because he decided to take 10 years off, and Mark is an absolute bellend, Dave. Now, Mark wants to find someone who cooks, cleans, keeps him in fucking how he doesn't have to work. Well, Dave, unfortunately, there's not many people win the lottery and pick that life, and Mark is trying to pick some lifestyle, which basically means he's a lazy little shit, Dave, and he doesn't want to do any work or anything. And he's an absolute diva. So I was like, why have they gone down this route again of two completely opposite people, initially anyway? And Sean seemed like such a lovely guy. And Mark, for me, Dave, was just fucking pissing me off. He reminded me a little bit of Thomas from last year, you know, so... like wanted this lifestyle, wanted all this stuff. And Adrian last year was trying to, you know, appease him one ear and all that, and it just didn't work out. And obviously, you know, they're not together. But my God, what an entrance for Mark. He was just like, he just ramped any bit of demands up to 100 for me. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it seems like incredibly hard work, doesn't he?
Yeah.
No, I think you nailed it with the diva thing. But, you know, isn't Mark another one of these? He's been on other reality shows, you know, doesn't like work much, you know, doesn't want a real job. I think that's definitely his lifestyle choice. Definitely been to Turkey.
Looks a few times, Dave, I think.
Sorting out those Ross teeth. Yeah, as well as all the other stuff. But yeah, I think, weirdly, I thought this was going to go the other way. And it's a great callback, actually, Adrian and Thomas last year, because there is a similar kind of energy with the pair of them, isn't there? I think Sean seems a lot more level.
Yeah.
But like, there's only so much you can put up with, isn't there? And, you know, when I can't remember, Sean said something about, you know, they're going to hit things that they disagree with. Next minute, Mark's off and he's like, oh, you know, and this excuse, like, oh, well, just things that have happened to me in the past, you know, they make me think that, oh, what else is he hiding and stuff? I'm just thinking, fuck this. I'd be fucking off, mate. It's like, it can't be arsed with this. But weirdly, They seem to be going all right. I mean, fucking chasing the social media followers, aren't they? 100%. Or at least Mark is, definitely. But yeah, weirdly, they seem to get through that early awkwardness, and they seem to be getting on okay. So I was expecting from that first, you know, few minutes of meeting Mark, especially, I'm thinking, oh, this is not going to go well at all. But you know, it does seem to be going better than I initially thought it would. So who knows? I still think, you know, it's like a ticking time bomb, isn't it? If someone like Mark, it's a fucking matter of time before something goes off. You know, one misplaced comment or, you know, it will just all go off.
Yeah, and I'm with you. And I think you're right. That's what surprised me is when they actually got to know each other, you know, they obviously got intimate. They were talking about that. And, you know, Mark did what Morag did a couple of seasons ago, didn't he? Where she's like, well, it's not what I've ordered.
It's not what it's I not ordered.
It's not fucking eBay. Or in some respect, you'd probably say some of them are from fucking Wish, Dave, on this one. But it's like, it's not about that. You give a profile. Well, I don't even know why I'm giving the fucking experts any slack, because I'm going to lay into them fuckers later, Dave. But anyway, he did say the line, but I was with you. I was like, oh, actually, maybe this is a couple that we can get on board with, because they seem to have a happy medium. I mean, Mark was saying about, I work in high-end fashion. What, you work in Selfridges, do you, mate? You know what I mean? Fucking wow. You know what I mean? Fucking wow. You're still on minimum wage. Was
it fast fashion?
It's fucking bollocks, babe. Like
H&M or something?
Yeah, something like that. Some nonsense. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, Sean works in fucking Marks and Spencer's, but I work in high-end fashion. Right, okay, fair enough. So, but then... And then he said about his suit being black and all that. But I must admit, I was like, actually, I can see the logic behind having two people together who are complete opposites. So, but he may have, Mark may have carried on his, like, you know, demands, Dave, but it all got overshadowed by what happened for the rest of the week. They sort of, we met them. We had an episode of them getting to know each other on a bit of a honeymoon and all that. And then it was like, okay, you should sit in the background now. This is all going to kick off. And then it just descended into the OGs, didn't it, really? We knew something was simmering. But before I get on to the main event, Dave, again, Paul and Tasha, two people I thought, they are set. They seem normal people when they're together. There's a good chemistry. Tasha, again this week, Dave, has just shown herself. It's like, what are you doing? She calls Erica a tramp, doesn't she? I'm not saying Erica's Erica does not, you know, come out of this completely innocent. She's very good at playing the room, very good at playing that. Oh, you've said, you know, all this playing up to the cameras. But Tasha, again, there's just something between these two. I don't know whether Erica's stolen her fucking milk money or something. I don't know what's going on, but she fucking hates her, doesn't she, with a passion?
She does. Maybe she sold her a PA or something back in the day. But there is this irrational hatred. Sorry, complete inside joke. Complete inside joke for me and you. But so she's got this irrational hatred, hasn't she, of Erica? And I have to say, if I spent any sustained amount of time with Erica, I think she'd wind me up too. So expressive, got so much to say about everyone else. You know, I think she'd grate on anyone after so long. But Tasha just fucking hates her, and honestly, yeah, it comes across horribly. To be honest, I mean, the whole thing about, you know, calling her a tramp or whatever, it's like, you know what, just can you not just be civil for like 5 fucking minutes? But yeah, no, I enjoyed the conflict though.
I did.
You know, before we get into the main kind of conflict pieces in the dinner party though, Chris, you know what stood out to me this week, I think, is we always think like Love Island, you know, that that's the maximum amount of work that people have had done via wherever, you know, mostly Turkey.
Yeah.
But I don't know, just something about this week. I think in particular, it's not just the girls, it's girls and boys. But
yeah,
but the girls, when they don't have the makeup on, I think the work is much more obvious. I don't know if you'd noticed that at all, but I almost think like the people who are coming on to Married at First Sight now have had more work done than the people who go on Love Island.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And I think maybe it's the age thing as well, Dave. You know,
it could be
some of them are older, aren't they? I mean, Mark, I mean, that is obviously, there's some psychological problems there for him. I don't want to take the piss too much, but he's took 10 years off his life and then takes it back on and explains it's to do with this situation. And you're like, and you can clearly see he's had his his teeth, he's had Botox, he's had all sorts of weird, and he's not wrong with that. If you want that sort of thing done, you know, get it done. I'm all for that. You know, it makes you feel better. Get it done if you've got the money. But I'm with you on that. I think it's more obvious. But then again, it could be the lighting, Dave. Because don't forget, Love Island, the shot from quite far away most of the time. Very rare that we do get close-up shots. And to be fair, they're all like early 20s, most of them. Unless you're Ekinsu and 38 and pretending you're fucking 26. But everyone else is fucking like mid-20s, aren't they? Early to mid-20s. So maybe it's that. But they do shoot Love Island quite far away most of the time. So maybe it's that. But I will say, Dave, let's get into this. I have been chomping at the bit to speak to you about this. So Ella, Nathaniel, JJ and Bianca, right? Now, this week, fucking this, I think maths, I think the last episode on Thursday was fantastic. Last night's episode was fantastic. It brought the drama. It was brilliant. However, the lead up to it is fucking bollocks. They have filmed this all over the place. Nathaniel doesn't give a fuck about Ella. He hasn't from the start. I'm not a fan of Ella or Nathaniel. They're an absolute pair of bellends. Both fame hungry, both in it for the clout to stay on the fucking show. Absolute pair of knobheads for me, Dave. But Nathaniel has obviously said, I want to go. The producers have come to him. I think the only one who's been stuck here is Bianca. I don't actually think she knew what was going on. But I think from the get-go that Ella and JJ have always been told they're going to get together. And it's been a storyline that is absolute. This makes stuff like on Love Island and some other shows we cover, look fucking organic and authentic. Because for me, the conversations with Ella and fucking Tasha, the cameras in the flats, the bullshit, I was just like, oh, fuck off. And then they even give them a Nokia 3310 to text each other on day.
What was like, that all about?
Fuck? So I've ranted a little bit, but I am sick to death of what they've done. I think maths has been pretty poor with the producers. It's been so obvious. It's almost like TOWIE now. It's like they're not even real situations when they're having conversations now. It's so fake and that, this series for me. But the last episode was brilliant. But I just felt the lead up to it was just, you could see it all coming. And I was just like, they're all bad actors. And Nathaniel's so upset by it all. What a load of bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to drink a little bit of the Kool-Aid. So definitely the filming of conversations, that's all set up. But I kind of feel like the sentiment of it is still kind of accurate. I'm kind of believing some of what I see on the screen. But it wasn't the last Maths Australia. It was the season before, wasn't it? That where they seemed to stumble across this formula that will really rile people up, where, you know, they'll couple swap. You know, one of the couples will go off in quote-unquote secret, you know, with a camera crew in tow. And then, you know, they went to a gym, didn't they? Was it Daniel and Carolina or something?
Oh, God, you know, yeah.
That was the first time, at least I remember seeing that on Maths, and then we've had it every fucking season since, every Australian season, every UK season. So I think there is something in what you say about it being producer-led, but I think I'm willing to suspend that kind of disbelief and say, okay, this was kind of two people getting a bit of a connection. They were probably talking much more off the camera, but, you know, the producer like, well, you know, we got to catch some of this, so let's set up this conversation. I feel like that's what it is. Nathaniel is probably just his ego talking, to be honest, because he wasn't interested. I'm not even sure he liked Ella at all.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So, you know, I think it's just his ego, you know, and then everyone gets fucking morally righteous then, don't they? I think the only person I have any kind of sympathy for is Bianca, you know, because, I mean, JJ was acting like a prick, wasn't he? Because he was basically gaslighting her, saying that, you know, oh, you know, we just have to move at our own pace and stuff. Rather than just say, look, you're completely not my type. I know I'm on the show. I know I could get some screen time and whatever. But actually, you know what? I'm going to tap out. I'm going to come out of this show. No. He wants the screen time. He wants to still stick around. But he's kind of leading Bianca on, you know, by giving these wishy-washy kind of answers. And Chris, I don't know, maybe I'm just too old. Well, that is true. But also the next thing I'm going to say, what was fucking JJ wearing? It's like he was going to go off to a bowling alley or something. It's just, he looked ridiculous. I'm like, really? You're in fucking fashion? You're there with your fucking Lego haircut and your bowling outfit. You look ridiculous.
You've done me there, because I was going to say he had a dart shirt on, or he just got the fucking Temu app, Dave, and was ordering from fucking China, because that fucking top was horrendous, wasn't it? It looked fucking awful. And he's just got like this smug face. And that's what I was struggling with, to believe any of these conversations. It's because it's a thing that happens when you watch TOWIE. I know you've never really watched it, Dave, and I totally understand it. Like, Sam still watches it now, and I watch like the odd little bit of the episode. You'll see a few of them, but there's a couple of the characters in TOWIE. So the original format was you're recreating stuff that's happened, you know, in their lives, in this this arena of all these young kids around Essex and all that. And then obviously as you watch it, you realise there isn't anything. It's just made up. But what happens is when they're trying to recreate two people having an argument or having a chat, there's one of the guys, especially called Diggs, who's still in it now. He's been in it for years. And he does this like laughing face because they're not actors or actresses. And you know that he's basically just blagging it and trying to sort of like play up to this fake storyline. And these are two or three of them, but he gives it away a lot. And they just give it away because they're in like scenarios where they're in the gym and there's no sweat. And they're going, so what do you think about, I don't know, what do you think about Amber fucking not speaking to fucking Jenny or something? And they're like, oh yeah, it's really terrible. Like, well, I don't know what a problem. And they're all laughing and you're thinking, this doesn't even seem real. And that's what JJ and Ella were doing. They were trying to pretend that they were really upset, but it felt as if they basically shot this about 5 or 6 times to get to get the realistic side of it across. I don't know. I just, none of it was real, but fuck me. And I'm glad, I think Bianca was not in on it, any of it, and she went to town, Dave, and I was pissing myself laughing. She's fucking laid into them all. Oh, honestly, it could have gone, I mean, at one point she was going towards Ella. I thought, oh my God, they're going to have a fucking punch up here, you know what I mean? But yeah, I loved what she did there to her and JJ. They deserve that shit because they're bullshitting. We've only been texting. My fucking bollocks they have, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, I did enjoy Bianca kind of laying it out there. And, you know, we've heard this from Ella multiple times. Oh, yeah, I'm a girl's girl. Because you say these things doesn't make them true. And it's like, yeah, I'm a girl's girl, but I'm just basically first guy who takes a shine to me. I'm going to go behind everyone's back. It's fucking bullshit. So, yeah, I did enjoy Bianca tearing strips off them there. But then it all got mad, didn't it? And this is where I'm like, oh, fucking yes. I was loving it because it was all going off. And, like, Laura was consoling Nathaniel and, like, Ella was giving Laura shit as well, and she's like, what the fuck? And it was all going off in every direction. Meanwhile, George's is just sat there quietly wondering if he's going to get his arsehole licked later. I thought it was fucking brilliant.
It was so good. And you're right, like the whole dynamic of the room. And I tell you who I was pissed off with more than anything, Dave, what an absolute knobhead he is. And he's come across as, I thought he was such a good guy, is Luke. He's a prick. And the way he was having a go at Jordan about JJ, and he was trying to stick up for him. And it's like, no, JJ's a fucking weasel. And so are you, Luke. Luke's showing a real nasty side to himself, Dave, which I called myself out. I thought him and Jay were going to be
great
the ones.
Guy.
Yeah, great guy. You got called that straight away. He's not. And the fact that he's sticking up for his mate there, calling Jordan, he fucking stupid, was just completely out of line, Dave. And we know there's something coming there, but what an absolute bellend he is. I just don't like him. There's a real, I don't know, just a sinister side to this guy that I'm not a fan of.
I don't know if I read it as being sinister, but I was puzzled. I was like, why are you defending this kind of cheating? I mean, we know it's not real marriages and all that stuff, but they're supposed to be, you know, set up for this relationship and you're supposed to work through it. So it is kind of cheating, isn't it? So I just thought it was an interesting side to pick, you know, to say it's okay, you know, it's fine, they're cheating and, you know, get over it kind of thing. So yeah, I don't think he's come off very well. I think he's another one actually who's just utterly fame hungry. I think the connection that he's got, I'm not sure I believe it. You know, they had that conversation, didn't they, when they had the friends coming around and stuff. You know, there's no chance he's going to move. I think that's his signal that he's going to be tapping out. As soon as the show's done, as soon as the cameras have stopped rolling, that's it. He's going to be
he's
done.
He's gone. Yeah, I agree. And it's weird, isn't it? Because you know what's coming now, Dave? You know, the fucking experts are a waste of time. And I wonder if, I mean, I'd love it if they were on a fucking, you know, performance to, you know, a couple staying together like they're on a bonus, because they get fuck all these lot, because they sit there watching it and they have become a parody for me, all three of them. I honestly, I don't know what it is about the experts, but I can't stick them now. They're just absolute fake. They're as fake as, like, fucking, I don't know, Mark's fucking turkey teeth. Like, they just play into the camera. It's not real. And all that's going to happen now is we're going to get what happened to Matt and, oh, what she called from last series, Dave, Matt and the posh one who he got with when he cheated on Gemma. Matt cheated on Gemma.
Whitney?
Whitney. And they came back in as a couple, Dave.
Yeah.
So we're going to get, they're going to allow JJ and Ella to come in as a couple now, 100%.
That's true, actually. Yeah,
it's
coming. I never thought of that.
It's coming.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
all the morals, all the faux, oh, look at how upset Bianca is. Oh, she's tearing strips off him. And we're going to see it in the next episode. So we're going to see that they're actually going to get, you know, the judges or experts or whatever the fuck they are going to speak to Ella and JJ and call them out, hopefully.
The judges.
At the end of it, yeah, Paul's going to go, well, guys, this is terrible. going, let's see you on the next episode. You know, it's like, yeah, whatever. Fucking nonsense. Absolutely,
you know, when it was nonsense. All kicking off, I was just waiting for Bertie Big Bollocks Thomas to puff his chest out and say, so it's okay, I will sort this all out.
Yeah. Don't make me angry.
Take it back, mate.
Like the Incredible Hulk, the Tory Hulk he is or something. But yeah, so I don't know where he's going to go, but what a great end to the week, Dave. I was frustrated for parts of it because of the fakeness. However, that last bit was brilliant. And bravo to Bianca. You just seemed, that seemed so real. And I'll tell you why it was real, Dave, but you just kept saying, you can fuck off, yeah. You can fuck. And I'm thinking, that's exactly what any normal person would do in an argument. Wouldn't you be like, you fucking bastard, you dickhead or whatever. And she didn't pander to the audience, and she just laid into him. You've got your shitty fucking speeches, fuck off. And I was like, oh, go on. So I did feel that was genuine, and it did catch her off guard.
Yeah, and that's why I think, you know, even though some of the scenes might be set up, I do think there is something in there. You know, these are real people with real feelings being hurt kind of thing. So, yeah, that definitely came across in a more authentic way, didn't it?
Well, we found that out, didn't we, when we did the interview day. Remember, what was he called last year? The Lara? Music guy. Lara and Richie. And she said, didn't he, played up to the cameras when he was with me.
Yeah,
he was
great.
Well, off the cameras, he didn't want to know. And that's obviously a similar situation. But look, Dave, it's maths were halfway through. There's going to be more. They cannot introduce any more couples now, for God's sake. This is more than I've ever known of maths. We've got like four couples, 18 people have been introduced, haven't we? Usually we get two. Yeah. So I don't want doing that. We're at sort of the halfway point, probably just over halfway. So let's see. But brilliant, brilliant week. And I'm so glad to talk to you because I've been itching to speak to you about this, mate.
Yeah, it has been good. And like I say, obviously doing the weekly wrap-up, we can't touch on every little detail. But one of my other highlights, Chris, which had me crying, was I hinted about it before when Peggy's mum and sister came round and the discussion of rimming came up. Peggy's mum's like, what's rimming? And I'm like, come on, man. Like, I'm sure when George's, you know, said this, he wasn't expecting for it to be polite dinner conversation. You know, everyone sat around the breakfast bar, like, you know, talking about how George loves a bit of rimming, giving and receiving. It just had me crying because I was thinking, fucking hell, he seems like an outgoing, confident lad, but fucking hell, he must have been shrinking unbelievably at that time. Like, please don't discuss this.
Oh, it's fucking brilliant. I was like, he's getting excited. But anyway, no, brilliant, mate. Brilliant. So thank you again. I've loved this. I love just, it's like our therapy session.
It is.
It's brilliant. It's really good. And thanks everyone who's listening. We do appreciate you guys. We're at like 650 friends over on Facebook. Chris and Dave's Reality TV cast, come and join us over there. We do appreciate. Big thanks to Charlene as always for moderating and running the page for me, myself and Dave. If you want to email us, cdrealitycast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @cdrealitycast. And as always, if you do want to support us, please get over to patreon.com/cdrealitycast. So the roll call of honor is Danielle, Caroline, Kim, Amanda, Larissa, Helen, Nicola, Emma, Fiona, Cassie, Megan, Kate, Maggie, Zoe, Zillian, Keith, Helen, Chloe, Noreen, Joanna, Libby, Katie, Dee Dee, Susan, Lauren, Lucky Lulu Green, and Keg Gustafson. So thank you so much, guys. Amazing list of people supporting the podcast. Everyone past and present, we really, really appreciate it.
It is awesome. So thank you very much, sir. It's been great to have this chat. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.